Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Jess Jossen. I am one half of your host, Sabrina Hannon.
And I'm the other half, Jasmine Heron. This week, we are back in the Hellmouth for Season 4, Episode 5, Beer Bad.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. I think this episode might be why, like, I did not jump right into drinking beer in college. I didn't really drink any beer until my senior year because beer, bad. And that's what Buffy taught me.
I didn't drink any alcohol until 2 weeks before my 21st birthday. and then it was hard cider. Actually, 2 weeks before my 21st birthday, it was a sip of champagne. But, and I got in trouble.
And you got in trouble?
And I got in trouble and I nearly lost my job. I was an RA.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to a university where people who were over the age of 21 were allowed to drink, but not in the presence of minors. And it was graduation because I have a June birthday. So it was like May 15th or May 18th or something like that. And some of my friends were, you know, graduating and they had a bottle of champagne and, I was like, I'm not 21 yet. Like I'll leave. And they're like, it's 2 weeks before your 21st birthday. Nobody cares. But then we got reported and
they did care.
And they did care. And I was the only one underage. So they all got in trouble. And I was only 2 weeks from my 21st birthday, and it was a glass of champagne. But
yeah, sometimes rules are a little stupid when it comes to, like, that, being that close.
Yeah.
And again, it's not like you were, you know, downing all the alcohol.
But. No, but still, I do remember... you know, being like, my supervisor said that nobody would care. And like, it was her supervisor who's like, does your supervisor have the ability to give you permission to break the law? And I was like, no. Like, well then.
Yes.
But I'm a rule follower and I've always been a rule follower. So, you know, it just really like ingrains in me. I'm like, oh no, I broke. I'm a willow.
Yeah, I'm much more someone like, so I am a rule follower to a point. If I don't have a reason for it, like if there's no reason for the rule, nope, I don't care. I'm very much so by my own moral code. Most rules line up with my moral code, but not all do. So.
Well, yeah, and I guess, like, for example, I'm not a rule follower. There are several laws in place in Mississippi about sex toys. And I was like, no, I believe in sex toys, and I'm pro-sex toys. And I am not married, but screw you, Mississippi, I shall use sex toys. So I think I have more of a problem with morality laws that aren't actually about like
morality.
Well, yeah, you know, they're just about policing people's bodies and minds, and like if it's not a safety, I totally believe in safety laws and safety rules. But, like, if it's a morality, I'm just like, no!
I'm a big believer in civil disobedience, so, I mean, that should tell you where I lie on things like that. But, and I mean, I do think laws and rules are in place with things like drinking or controlled substances have their place. That being said, 2 weeks out, like, that's arbitrary to me. Like, that's just arbitrary. So. Yep. That brings us back around to Beer Bad.
Yep. On
this episode, so Beer Bad is, later in the episode, Buffy says like fire bad, which mm-hmm. is actually in reference to graduation day, where she says fire bad, tree pretty. Well, graduation day part two at the very end. And it's mentioned again later on where it's fire pretty.
Mm-hmm. But so we start off the episode with
I have one more fun fact. Sorry.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's a quick one. It's fine. I should have been quicker on it. I didn't know if you were tossing in a fire fact. So this episode was actually partially written to take advantage of funding from the Food and Drug Administration, but the episode was rejected because while it does talk about substance use and alcohol usage, they argued that since it was with the supernatural entities and all that it did not qualify for the funding. Not that at this point Buffy was really struggling for it, or that they have insane costs for this production either, for like this episode. Although this episode did win, I believe it was an Oscar for best hair in this episode.
Best hair.
Yeah.
Hair? Because Buffy had pretty hair.
Buffy's hair. As I was reading that fact, Xander was on the screen, and I was like, Xander's hair does look really good. I don't think it's Xander's hair, though. Mm-hmm. It was probably Buffy's hair, but.
I mean, yeah, she did have some beautiful hair. In the beginning, so in her fantasy sequence, right in the beginning, her fantasy sequence, mm-hmm. we've got this like rock music going, and Buffy in her like gorgeous outfit is kicking vampire butt, and we see Parker, and he's like, Buffy? And she's like, Parker? And then she goes ahead and like continues to save his life as vampires are trying to drag him away, and there's, you know, the awesome music. She does at one point a double split kick of kicking two vampires in the head at the same time.
And then when Parker apologizes and the music changes to like the violins and cellos or whatever, and it's like that epic scene in a movie basically where the lovers come together. And then she's in class. Although I don't know if you had more to add there, but I just love that music change there. This is me playing an instrument, by the way.
And so then we're in Professor Walsh's class, and Buffy is watching as Parker, who is in this class, is just flirting with yet another girl. And, you know, she's giggling and Does nobody notice?
how does Professor Walsh not notice? Because that doesn't seem like something she would put up with.
Mm-hmm.
Unless she's like pointing at them and being like, the pleasure principal, everyone, right here. But then Buffy goes back into her fantasy world, playing it out again with her saving Parker. But it's so funny to me because it reminded me of, remember when there was Xander was having the fantasy where he was the Slayer and he had his guitar and all of that. It just reminded me of that different circumstance, but still like that funny, like everyone kind of has these fantasies, not necessarily to this wacky extent.
But did you notice the second time she has the fantasy, now Parker has a different shirt on. The shirt is open. He's got roses and he's got ice cream. He's got a pint of ice cream that he's holding out to her. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, that's what you do when you fantasize. You just take it to the next level. Like, it's not just saving Parker's life and he's asking for forgiveness. Saving Parker's life, and he's asking for forgiveness, and he's shirtless, and he has ice cream.
Yes. All of it. So, after the credits, because it jumps from there into the credits, or not credits, the opening.
Yep. Opening sequence.
Thank you, yes. Xander is there, and he's talking about how he has a job now as a bartender, but he's not actually 21. They address this by him saying he has a fake ID and no one's going to question him because he's the bartender. And I love the crappy mustache he has on in the photo for the ID. It looks like one that you would get at like the dollar store and just stick on your face for Halloween. Fantastic. Actually didn't look bad.
I was wondering if maybe he got that ID from when he was working at the ladies' club.
Maybe. That would make sense. That definitely would make sense.
Which no power on earth will make him discuss.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if Anya ever gets it out of him.
So he's, you know, doing his whole routine with the lighter and, you know, talk to me about your story. Be sad. And Buffy says she's too caught up in her head about like her real world problems. Xander, you know, he's saying, well, talk to me. And she doesn't want to. And then Willow tries to like play along with him for a little bit. But then Buffy kind of shuts it down. Like she's like, really, you know, like, oh, I don't feel like playing sort of thing. And immediately she's going on and on about Parker again, like, oh, maybe I'm Bubble Buffy and he'll take me out. And like, maybe he just values me so much. And Willow says, you know, Buffy, my friend, whom I love. Like, she is having the real talk, which is, I sometimes feel like friends don't always tread the line properly between enabling and supporting. And Buffy is like, Willow's like, Buffy, I support you, but I am not going to enable you to follow down this bad path with Parker. Parker is a bad person. And like, and you need to stop thinking about him and wanting him. And, you know, I agree. And I think that's Willow being good friend.
Yes, it's definitely Willow's being an excellent friend here. Her and Xander both are, I think, throughout this episode, good friends. Yeah. I mean, people will argue about Xander with the beer situation, but he never actually gives her the beer. And his boss has already made it quite clear that he is not really, he's doesn't even want Xander checking IDs, so... And he does cut her off and send her home, which I'll get into my problem with how he handled that a little bit later. But
we'll get into that. But I mean, he also makes a good point later. He says, I'm not her dad. Like, she is an adult. She can make those choices. And he's not, I mean, besides from being the bartender. But yes, we'll get into that.
But yeah, so... Xander's is one of my favorite lines, though, as he's walking with Willow and Buffy as they're on their way to their class, which was, nothing can defeat the penis. The voice he uses and everything else.
It's very like He-Man.
And they look at him and he's like, too loud, too loud. I think it's such a relatable moment because I've definitely... had that moment where like I'm mocking or just saying something horribly inappropriate, but I'm way louder than I mean to be. I'm like, shit.
I have no filter between my brain and my mouth. And as a person who spent many years like legitimately studying sex and kink and stuff like that, I'm like, penis, vagina, blah. just the other day I was having a Zoom meeting with my brothers and friends, like, you know, and I made a comment about a tart, meaning a tart, but like, you know, being like, oh, I could get a tart sort of thing. And one of the girls was like, I wasn't sure you're making an innuendo because it's right in front of your brothers. And both of my brothers are like, yeah, have you met Jasmine? That's not going to stop her. Mm-hmm. Like, just completely inappropriate. Don't have any awareness of my surroundings.
Also, I feel like at least with, I mean, he's a doctor, so I feel like he should be over some of that, but also he's not that kind of doctor.
Well, one of my brothers is a doctor, the other brother's a lawyer. Yeah. We're all having, when you're younger, you don't usually hang out with your siblings that much. When you get older, you find yourself hanging out with your siblings a lot.
Unless you're me. But yeah. Well,
also, my siblings and I are very close in age. We're all like 2 years apart from each other. So when I was in high school, my brother Gabe, who was just 2 years older than me, was really upset if I was hanging out with his friends, because those were his friends. He didn't want to be hanging out with his little sister, even though there was like legitimate overlap. You know, it really bothered him. And now we're just like, yeah, we were all friends in high school.
That's funny, because like in high school, I always assumed that you and Gabe were super close because of that overlap.
Oh, he hated it.
You know why, I'm sure. I'm sure all of his friends were like, your sister's so hot. And he was like, no, that's my sister.
No, I don't think that was the case.
I do. I really think that was the case. That, and I'm sure him just being like, I want something for myself. I'm one of four children.
That was it. That was it. He's like, I'm one of four children. I want something for myself. Like, because he was a middle child. I mean, I was also a middle child, but
you were stuck in the middle together.
Yep. He was like, these are my friends. And I'm like, but they're my friends too.
Meanwhile, then Miriam's like, and these are my clothes too, Jasmine.
Oh yes, many a rage over clothing stealing from a younger sister. But back to Buffy. We find out that Willow cannot go to the pub because she has a date with Oz at the Bronze that night, but Buffy says she might stop by.
Yeah.
So she goes to the pub and she sees Parker flirting with another girl who I think is actually a different girl than the girl from the class.
Yeah.
And then she literally bumps into Riley.
And he spills his beer all over himself.
Yep.
Which is a very relatable moment for anyone who's ever been in a bar. Like, even if you're not holding alcohol, if you're holding water, someone's going to bump into you and you're going to be wearing your water. But yeah, and once again, Riley takes Buffy's assault very well. First was the books, and then now there's this beer incident. But she was like, oh, sorry, I was like looking at Parker, basically. And he said, oh, yes, in his latest conquest. And it's quite obvious by how Riley's talking that it's well known who Parker is. He is not a good guy.
Yeah.
And he's definitely, the other thing is, he's definitely an upperclassman, like at least a junior, because he's 21 or has a fake ID, but it seems like he's 21 and drinking.
Mm-hmm.
So he is definitely preying upon freshman girls who wouldn't know about his reputation yet.
Yep. Eek. I have met guys like that.
Mm-hmm.
Who specifically go after the freshman girls.
Yep. So, but Riley, you know, it says like starts talking to Buffy. Buffy clearly isn't paying attention. He's like, I have friends. I'm going to go see them. While all this is going on, Xander is a struggle bus. For whatever reason, he's trying to take everyone's order at once instead of just being like, you, what do you want? And then getting that and coming back and cashing that person out or putting it on their tab. He's getting like four or five orders at a time. And he appears like, we see another bartender later who's the owner, but otherwise it's just him. That's shit training.
Yep. And again, like, it should have been, you, what do you want? Boom, done. Here's the money. Exchange. Okay, you're next. What do you want? Like?
Yeah.
Poor Xander. He's so overwhelmed. And
at least my experience, because these are all like it's a college bar, and at least my experience in college was like, if you saw a bartender who was like, you knew, because most college kids have jobs in the service industry. They tend to be a bit nicer than that. Like, you know, this person's clearly in training. Get to me when you can. It's, you know.
I think we're also seeing here the, like, the have and the have not. Or the, you know, the campus elite and the townie kind of, and so this is just trying to throw even more into focus how self-absorbed and elitist the college students are and how they look down upon the help.
Which I think is hysterical, because this is, UC Sunnydale is a branch of a main campus. Mm-hmm. We'll start there. And also, I'm not saying this is right or wrong, but it, like, when the one guy goes off on his tangent about how he's going to be ruling the world, basically, I was just like, you don't go to an Ivy League, honey. Like, even if this wasn't, you know, fake world, this is not set up to be like a fantastic school. Oz, who failed his senior year, got in.
Yep.
Even if his grades his senior year were his second senior year were fantastic, their colleges are going to look at that and it's not going to reflect well.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's necessarily a difficult school to get into.
So there's this moment where Buffy, you know, sad Buffy, Buffy sad, Buffy going to leave. And one of the guys who was being incredibly jerky to Xander. But earlier, because Xander's trying to be like, oh yeah, I'm here, and the guy puts him down, you know, they stop Buffy, and they're like, don't leave, you're beautiful, and we want to drape ourselves across you. And to be honest, like, although a little scummy, I also think that was, like, you know, cute and friendly. Like, because there was no, like, lecherousness, really. Like, they weren't trying to grope her or anything. They were literally like, don't leave, like, we think you're beautiful, and, like, you know, we volunteer as tribute, like, let us adore you.
Yes, to any woman that finds herself in this situation, don't fucking take that beer.
Yeah.
You're gonna drink, go get your own.
Yep.
Do not. You are going to, like, no, that's not going to end well, most likely.
Yep.
Do not do that. But she does. She takes beer, goes hangs out. Isn't the one guy famous now, or, like, not famous, but wasn't he on, like, Bones?
It's Calvin.
Yeah. Okay.
He's on How I Met Your Mother.
Mother.
He's on House. He's Harold and Kumar.
Yes. Okay.
And he also ended up working for the Obama administration.
He left House
to be like the public engagement officer or something for the Obama. Like, he left House to go to the White House.
Yeah.
He left House and went to the White House. But yes.
That's how I confused him with being on Bones, because interns on both of them, like, and I've been rewatching, but I'm not to the point with all the interns yet. But I was just like, oh, an intern, the only show in the world that has interns is Bones, which also stars David Boreanaz.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that there's something deeply psychologically wrong with me that when I'm having, like, a rough go of it, I'm just like, I want to watch Bones, a show about murder.
I've been watching iZombie recently, which is also a show about murder, but a cheesier show about murder. Okay, so yes, we now flash back to the Bronze. Okay, so Willow has a table. Oz shows up with, I'm assuming, alcohol, maybe not alcohol. Like, he's got drinks for them. And Willow's trying to talk to him, and all of a sudden Oz gets this, like, distracted look on his face and becomes intently focused on the new singer of the band Shy, Veruca. Veruca, mm-hmm. We have now seen twice. Where there's, like, this interaction, and you can tell Oz and her are sensing something about each other, like, legit. Like, they walk by and they're staring daggers at each other, and he seems completely swept off his feet. Like,
I would not say daggers, because daggers, like, staring, isn't that like a mean intent? Like, this is an infatuation.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, it's, and like Willow notices immediately, it's a thing. It is not a good thing. And you just feel so bad for Willow in this moment. Cause also Oz has been missing class. He had missed the first one, the psych class. And so when Willow notices this, cause she's, Veruca is standing on stage and basically singing to Oz with her sultry voice, and which is, and it's still, it's a very 90s sounding vibe, right?
Yep.
And Willow's like, you know, if you're still not feeling well, why don't we go back to your place and I'll make you some soup? And he's like, oh no, I'm fine. And she asks if she knows, like, the woman singing, Veruca. And she says, oh no, I know the drummer, but I don't know. And he uses her name, so he's heard of her at least, probably from the drummer. But it makes me wonder if he asked the drummer, like maybe when they were walking by, he noticed. But yeah, it's not a, 'tis the beginning of the end.
Yep. And the song that she's singing, you know, and she, while she's staring at him, one of the lines is that she wants to get out of her head into the guy's so that she could smell and taste herself. And
self-obsessed much?
But
I just really want to fuck me.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm just went to like a mental place.
Yeah, no, I was watching your face.
There is a show I was watching, and it's about people who get sucked into their like World of Warcraft game, but then like
I'm laughing because in college I had to be part of an intervention for someone that happened to.
But I mean, like, literally got sucked into their World of Warcraft. World of Warcraft. And they find out that if you have alts, like alternate characters, you become all of the characters. And so one of the characters literally has sex with him herself. We never find out what they were like in the real world. But one of them is like a black human male and one of them is a female white elf. And we don't know which one of them is their like actual cat, but they blink. So, and they're like, it's just like masturbation, right? Like,
yes and no. Like that one I feel like is less weird than singing a song to somebody about you wanting to have sex with them and be in their head so you can taste and smell yourself.
Yeah.
Somehow that's what, because you're removing the other person from it, I guess. There's no other sentient being that you're taking on this wild ride of yourself. But so back at the bar, these guys, like Buffy's now chugging Black Frost. I keep wanting to call it Black Forest, but Black Frost beer. And because that's what they're getting. Mm-hmm. And like she's sitting around and they're all acting kind of drunk, like having, you know, philosophical-esque conversations, but about beer. And Buffy is just like, oh, you're all so smart.
Mm-hmm.
But not quite like that, more in a, like a drunken way.
And she does at some point kind of be like, oh yeah, you like to hear yourselves talk. Mm-hmm. And the guys are like, oh no, we're losing her. Like,
yeah.
Keep her interested. Keep her here.
And Xander is trying to keep like, he's keeping an eye out. Like he's concerned, like he's making sure nothing's happening to Buffy.
Yep. I think that he's doing okay at this point.
He said he had, like, this is a good boundary. Like, Xander's had many issues with boundaries before, but he is letting her live her life. Mm-hmm. But also being a good friend and being like, I'm not sure in this situation. I'm just going to make sure she's okay from over here.
I mean, later he does intervene when he feels like she's gone too far.
Yeah.
But like, while he's still thinking she's okay and she's safe, he's just keeping an eye.
Yeah.
And that's good friendship.
That is. That is. And so we get to the next morning then, or is there anything you want to know? So the next Willow comes in, I'm guessing back from the bathroom after getting ready for class, because she has her little baggie and she's like mocking like Veruca and being like this stupid girl and her stupid song and Oz. And Buffy is hungover, but very cave-ish. Like she's starting to sound like a stereotypical, like if you're hungover and you're like, I don't want to do life, like that would be what you were saying. Not someone who's like trying to go about their day.
Yeah.
And she's like staring at the TV and like,
You know, TV good, music good. So Willow's like, are you okay? She says, I'm having a bad night. We're coming from a bad night of badness. And Willow says, oh no, with Parker? And Willow says, no, with four really smart guys. And I have to say, I am so here for Willow's response. Yeah. So she's like, oh, ow. And like, that's what you're in this reaction. And then she's like, are you okay? Do you want to talk? Like, there's no
judgment.
there is the initial ow. But
yeah.
Like, you know.
And I love how when Buffy is talking about how the night progressed and then she stopped for a second and Willow goes, and that's when there was the group sex. Just hearing Willow say it is just priceless. Like, and then there was the group sex.
And so then she realizes, no, it was just alcohol. And then Willow's like, okay, just alcohol. Like, it's also not good for you to drown your feelings in alcohol. Like, but she's not saying alcohol bad. She's saying just maybe you took it too far.
Like, not a coping mechanism. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And so she says, let's go to class and we can shoot spitballs at Parker because she wants Parker to, I can't believe I'm saying this, die by spider
bites. Spider bites.
Yeah.
When I heard that, I just pictured you being like,
no. Yeah. As I now like, I'm like feeling myself to make sure there's no spiders on me.
From what I can see, you are spider free.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
So, but Willow
doesn't even remember. She has to get dressed. Like Buffy is in her pajamas, being like, okay, off to class. Like.
And Buffy has like the comfiest looking pajamas known to man. However, I don't feel like they are very suited for California's weather.
Mm-hmm.
At least not like what she's wearing around, walking around during the day and even at night. Like they used to look very warm.
I guess, how North California are they?
I think they're Southern California because they're lower. I think they're what, an hour or two below Los Angeles.
Uh-huh. And they're below, not above North.
Long. Yeah, they're below.
Okay.
They've made references before. But, and so while they're sitting in class, like, Buffy's acting a little weird. Like, she raises her hand to be like, oh, Willow did the reading ahead of schedule. And
finally kind of, like, perk up and, like, look at her like, is she okay?
Yeah. And then Buffy rips a sandwich out of the woman in front of her's hand who is eating it and proceeds to eat it herself. And Willow at this point is concerned. She's like, Buffy, are you okay? And she's like, yeah, why wouldn't I be? As she's like going nuts on this sandwich.
Mm-hmm. Which is because, you know, at the same time, we're talking about Ed. We're talking about the Ed in class. And there's Buffy just being all in, you know, want, take, have.
It's like faith. Yes. Yes. So then we see this like elaborate test tube set up. So elaborate, different color vials and stuff like that. And once you go through a couple science classes, you know this would not be how this is going, but it, whatever is in it is draining out into, drumroll, the Black Frost beer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there is trouble afoot.
And so we kind of see Buffy is going back for more alcohol. And I don't think it's quite nighttime yet. I think she's at this point day drinking. Like, yeah, she's met
probably up happy hour.
Maybe.
Like if it starts at 5.
Because so the guys are there still and they're talking and being dumb. And Xander's keeping an eye on them. And there's a girl who says, like, I've had a terrible day, got a light, which is the exact setup that Xander was practicing with his wanna talk about it. And instead he just waves a, like, no smoking sign at her because he is laser focused
mm-hmm.
on Buffy. Because
now he's concerned.
Yep. Like, because, you know, she's kind of like pushing guys and they're doing the you're stupid, no, you're stupid thing. But he thinks she's really drunk and it's early because there's nobody at the bar yet, really, besides from them.
It's early. And also a drunk slayer, like, and if she's pushing people, like, that is concerning. Like, that is something you definitely want to keep an eye on. Also, anytime your friend starts to get physical with people,
mm-hmm.
even if you're not working there, but especially if that's your job, you're going to want to, like, keep an eye on that and bust that up sooner rather than later. But at the same time, we see Willow leaving her dorm and Oz comes up and asks if she wants to go with him to sit in on Veruca's band.
Mm-hmm.
He was asked to do that and thought that Willow would enjoy that. And she was like, oh, no, I'm on my way to the library. And he's like, I was trying to get a hold of you. And she's like, yeah, didn't just got back in.
Yep.
Which I think Oz realizes she's not telling the truth or has, like, an inkling. Like, he has to know something is off, but I don't think he cares enough at this point.
Well, so, I mean, she makes a kind of pointed comment where he says, yeah. You know, I'm asked to sit in with Shy. It'd be nice if you were there. And she's like, 2 Veruca nights a month. Are you sure you want to share your groupie?
Yeah.
The comment that Veruca had made the night before. And 2 puts down Willow. Mm-hmm. And Oz is like, oh, yeah, I guess that wouldn't be fun for you. Like, no, it wouldn't be to have her be by himself. By her, because when he's saying sit in, I imagine that means Shy wants him to play.
Yeah.
Because he's a bass player. So she would just be sitting in the audience watching him play?
Yeah. Which, I mean, when they first started dating, Willow liked to do that when they were in high school. And she made the joke, like, ooh, I think I'm a groupie. But that's very different. Mm-hmm. Also, they've been dating for a very long time now. And things change the longer you're in a relationship. And sometimes you no longer just want to listen to your boyfriend play guitar or whatever, which you've seen done a million times. Especially in this situation, but on its own, like, that's
mm-hmm.
not necessarily the most fun. You add in Veruca and certainly not.
Yeah. I'm sure Willow really wants to watch you making eyes at this other girl on stage all night long. Yeah, that's going to be great.
Yeah. Most fun.
He's kind of confused. You can see he's trying to work it through in his head. And so then we flash back to the pub and Xander is noticing that, you know, Buffy's not doing well. Like, he turns on music and she, like, is giggling and smacking the jukebox, like, make more music. And he's like, okay, you're cut off. And at this point he says, I cut you off. And she goes, did it hurt? Like,
mm-hmm.
But when your friend is so drunk, they can't understand basic words, that's usually alcohol poisoning, not drunk anymore, and you probably shouldn't have sent her home by yourself. Like, yep.
He probably should have called Giles, honestly, to come get her. That is definitely a rock. And like, it's not like now where everyone has cell phones or Uber. But, and it, he's working. So it's that rough spot, right? And you especially don't want to send your friend home who's a woman by herself, drunk like that, to get back to her dorm room, even if she's the slayer.
Yep.
But he does. And unfortunately, like, that's, I want to say that's a very common mistake for people like through their 20s, not all the way through, but certainly the beginning part. Women tend to be better at recognizing not to do that, but then their male friends, but not always.
Yep.
You are going out drinking, always make sure you have like responsible friends.
Yep. I was many a cock block back in university for like my female friends who were like, do not let me go home with a guy at the end of the night. And then as they're drinking more and more, they're like, "Wee!" And I'm like, "Honey, you're coming home with me." And they're like, "Oh yeah." And the guys are like, "Damn it, why are you interfering with our," I'm like, "'Cause she's drunk." Cause she's drunk. And she told me before we started drinking that she did not want to go home with someone tonight. So,
and someone includes you.
Yep. And I was always like, I guess, very clear when I was talking to my friends, when I was also teaching sex ed classes. If you have made the decision that you want to go out and have a bit to drink and go have sex with someone, great. Make that decision for yourself before you go out, like before alcohol is involved. That is you making a consent decision that you as an adult are able to make. But once you start drowning in alcohol, you're no longer able to make those decisions. Mm-hmm. So like, make that decision and then stick with it or have someone hold you accountable to it before the night starts. And because I have no problem with people who want to go have a random hookup. And this is a Parker conversation. Like, if you want to go have a random casual sex hookup, use safe sex options, but by all means. But do not be predatory about it. Do not be, do not interfere with your own ability to make decisions. And it doesn't mean that you can't have a drink or two, but don't get so drunk that you don't know what's happening. I rant.
Oh, no. I think what you're saying is very important and a very important distinction as well.
Mm-hmm.
So Xander has cut Buffy off and sent her home. Willow is at, I guess it's like a cafe, which is like in a basement type deal of probably one of the student buildings or like one of the college buildings.
It's like and a coffee shop, I guess, because
they have donuts there too.
Yep, pastries.
Yep. And she immediately sees Parker and she's just like, oh, this guy? And he's by himself. So this is her perfect opportunity to tell him to stick it. Mm-hmm. And she marches over and she tells him in no uncertain terms, she does not like him. And what he did to Buffy was garbage and he is garbage. And he's like, well, you're just not seeing things from my point of view. I didn't do anything wrong. I'm sorry though, that Buffy is having such a tough go of it. She should really, have like gotten over it, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And I love what Willow does. So I think we can just string together this part without the interruption. Yeah. So he proceeds to have her sit down and explain his side of things. And they're at a table. At one point we cut away and we come back and they're like in the corner on like a couch and a cozy seat. And he's you know, still going on about consenting adults and whatever nonsense bullshit it is that he's talking about. How can't people just come together in this crap world and have a night where they both enjoy themselves and then go their separate ways without any expectations, da, 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 da. And Willow's playing along at this point. She's like, oh, I never really thought of it that way. And like giving these eyes that are really innocent with her little smiles. And then Parker's like, can I tell you something? Oh, when he...
his face when he does this.
Yeah. He's like, oh, can I tell you something kind of personal? She's like, yes. And he starts going on about how he's really enjoyed their time together tonight. And clearly trying to get into her pants. It wasn't enough to get Buffy, who is having a hard time. Imagine how, like, if Willow wasn't Willow, him sleeping with her best friend and roommate, how that would have gone over. He's a bad guy. And Willow is just like, how gullible do you think I am? And yep. She says, and like rips into him about like, you're just trying to jump my bones.
She calls him out on all his shit and it's fantastic. But really, you know, he made a few good points, but he was twisting the situation to make himself sound innocent. He's like, can't people just have, you know, casual sex? The answer is yes, people can have casual sex, but you did not treat Buffy as if you wanted casual sex. You actively pursued her as if you wanted a relationship.
Then once you
had sex, you treated it like casual sex. Like, yeah. You know, that's different.
100%. And so the best lies are ones that are part truth. Like, so he's cherry picking the information and weaving it in such a way that it sounds really good, right? If you're like, it's because the points are valid. And if you get stuck on some of those points, you're not going to be able to see the bullshit.
Yep.
People do this all the time for nefarious means on the internet. Like they write their blog posts and whatnot, and we get to the society how we are today. It's basically a bunch of Parkers who are writing really shitty blogs now. But he, right after, well, Parker and Willow wind up getting conked on the head right after this, after she says that men haven't evolved since the cavemen, basically.
Yep.
But we have to jump back now to get to the caveman part. So the... as Willow is first talking to Parker back at the bar after Buffy has left, Xander's trying to close up and he's like, okay, guys, the four guys that are there, you got to pay up. Like, mm-hmm. It's over. And they are kind of acting like monkeys at this point, like pulling off their shirts, kind of like picking at themselves. And they don't know how much money they're like. They have a $38 tab and they hand them like $60. And
how cheap is that beer for them to have drunk that much and to only be a $38 tab for the entire group?
Well, it was the early 2000s. So this would have been like, I mean, it was almost a full decade before I was legally able to drink. So, and they have at least my college and around my college, they had crazy drink specials. They would have penny drink night where you would get, it would be a pint of beer for a penny. And it would only last for maybe 2 hours, but, or like ladies drink free for 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Those are vicious nights. Vicious. So like lots of elbowing.
I was not a bar person. Or a drinking person. So I guess I just missed all that.
Yeah, if you knew where to go, and I'm sure other places were like that too. Like if you, like a campus bar, they're going to be making all their money by getting you in and like hopefully hooking you in with the cheap beer, but getting you to then buy like food or whatever the hell else they have, like transitioning you to other alcohol. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
But yeah, okay, so they're completely out of it. They owe $38 in the tab. Xander's like, and 30% tip? And they just hand him over, like, you know, another $50 or something like that. Like,
sack of money, basically.
You know? And he's like, great, that's awesome. One of the guys has gone into the bathroom, and then they hear all this crashing, and he comes out, and he is full on, like, Neanderthal, which, like, he has, like, the excessive brow line, and the, like, puffed out lips, and the facial fur. It's not like, which, you know, I want to comment upon, like, actually a lot of humans right now, humans, Homo sapiens right now, have a Homo Neanderthal DNA in them. So, like, this, we kind of, like, sexed them out of existence. But the, you know, DNA still exists.
There's a joke about wanting to be sexed out of existence.
Somewhere there is a joke about being sexed out of it. Yes.
It's right here. I'm telling it now.
Anyways, when the first guy comes out, I think his name is Colm. He screams, and his primal Neanderthal scream causes the other guys to go through their change. And they start, you know, bones clinking together and becoming heavier, and their faces change, and they sprout extra fur and fur hair.
It's like fur, basically.
And the only pass I am giving this is because you find out it's a spell. Like, yeah. This would not be a science experiment thing to happen. It's a spell.
Yeah. Yes. And during all this, they, like, you know, they push over Xander. He's on the floor. And the only way he gets away from them is the lighter he keeps in his pocket, lighting that. And they say, like, fire bad, and run out.
No, they at first they say fire pretty.
Right.
And then fire bad.
Yeah. And Xander goes to tell his boss, who is the owner, like, some of your patrons just turned into cavemen. And he's like, yeah, they deserved it. And he's like, my brother-in-law's a warlock.
Just very, I'm guessing that there is a certain part of Sunnydale that's just very okay with magic. And
the magic shop, yeah.
But also, like, he's like, yeah, my brother's a warlock. Like, mm-hmm. You know, I turn people into cavemen.
Mm-hmm. And just, he's like, I thought it'd be funny. They deserved it. Beer makes all men the same, is what he said.
Mm-hmm.
Because he got tired of these kids talking to him and, like, the people that worked there like they were nothing. This is also the second time in Buffy that we've seen people who serve food or drinks fight back against, like, and not in good ways, right? Against, like, treating people like being treated like crap. So, a very important lesson here, folks. Be nice to the people bringing you your food and beverages, because they can kill you.
Well, just in general, be nice to people in the service industry. They are dealing with a lot of shit. They do not need extra.
Yeah. But even if you're a really shitty person, they can kill you. Be nice. I'm just going to give you this piece of meat that I put in the toilet. Here you go.
So, ew. So Xander suddenly realizes that Buffy has been drinking this beer. She's a slayer. The guy's like, it's fine. It'll wear off in a day or two. And Xander's like, not good enough. Slayer drunk. Slayer drunk caveman spell. Not good. So he goes to find Giles.
Yeah. Which, again, very responsible on that. Which, I mean, it's basically going to a parent and being like, okay, look, this got out of hand.
But I do remember he pops his head back in and goes, you're a bad, bad man.
Yep.
So then Giles is scolding Xander, and he's like, I can't believe you, sir. And he's like, well, I didn't know it was a spell. And he's like, but you knew it was beer. And Xander's like, she's an adult. Like, yeah. Yep. 18, 19 at this point?
18, because I don't think we've had her birthday episode yet. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, the last birthday episode. And yeah, we haven't had one yet this season.
Okay. So
it'll have to be after the Thanksgiving episode, which is one of my favorites. I'm so excited for that. Anyway.
But yes, anyways, she's an adult. She's over the age of 18. I'm not her father. She can make these choices. Mm-hmm. When it got out of hand, I stepped in. And now I've come to you, old father figure, mm-hmm. because, you know. and they walk into her room, and Buffy is, what was she painting in? Pudding?
I hope pudding.
I'm hoping pudding.
We're all hoping pudding or like a brown marker that she busted open.
Yep.
Because the other options are not good.
But yeah, so they find her drawing cave paintings on her wall, and she slaps one of them and says, Parker bad. Mm-hmm. And so they, you know, she's entertaining herself with a spinny chair for a bit and falling over. And
I love Giles' reaction. He's like, it's quite fascinating, really.
Yep.
I also, this is another thing, like where she's painting again, I'm just like, oh my God, Joyce and Hank Summers, the bill they are getting for that room. Like,
yep.
Not good. Not good, Buffy. Also, while they're looking for Buffy, the cavemen, one of them gets hit by a car, and the other three chase after these women.
Yep. And one of them has picked up a giant stick club that they're like, woohoo, we can hit people with. They literally, you know, club women, grab women, and drag them down to the coffee shop where Willow and Parker are, which is when Willow points out, she's like, men have not evolved. This is prehistoric times. And then they come in all cavemen-like, and she's like, see? But then, of course, her and Parker get bopped on the head with said stick.
There's no one working at this coffee shop. There's no one. Like, because you don't see anyone flee, really, like, that would be working there. You don't see anyone serving anyone. And the fire that starts definitely would have brought them out from hiding.
Yep.
So that's a little plot hole, I think. But Buffy, so Giles is like, okay, we got to figure something out about this. Why don't you stay with Buffy and to Xander? And then Buffy starts aggressively and kind of sexually smelling Xander. And Xander's just like, what?
He's like, nope, nope, nope. Yep. Like, you know, not okay. Good Xander, because Xander's with Anya now. They've had this discussion that they are dating. There's date-like qualities to their lives at this point.
Yes.
And
I think Xander's over his Buffy crush at this point. This is also the second time that Buffy has thrown herself at him now in this. Like, this episode is a lot of, and this is the second time we see.
Yep. So Buffy runs outside. Giles and Xander try to follow, but they can't keep up. And then Xander finds her outside. She can't find the beer. She wanted more beer because beer foamy. Mm-hmm. And can't find the beer. And then they see smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And they go chasing after where the other three drunk guys, because one of them mm-hmm. got, you know, run over,
yep.
Basically, I'm pretty sure, about to rape these girls.
Yes, they definitely were, until they built the giant fire, which caught, well, they built a small fire, which caught other stuff on fire because it was indoors, and now have a towering inferno going, with one girl conked out, one's awake, but also then Willow and Parker are still out.
Mm-hmm.
So Buffy, you know, goes in, because she's still the Slayer. As we find out later, there are cave woman slayer.
Mm-hmm.
So she runs in And she's looking and she burns herself on the fire and like, ooh, hot. And she sees Willow out. And that's when she springs into action. Because she grabs
a fire extinguisher.
Oh, yeah.
Can't remember how to use it. So she throws it at the fire.
I could, like, eventually, once that got hot enough, wouldn't that explode? I don't, right? I mean, I don't know the science behind fire extinguishers when they're not used to put out fires but are thrown into it, but.
There are three different types of fire extinguishers. Some of them are just water, and so that wouldn't really do anything.
Yeah.
But some of them are chemical fire extinguishers, and I don't know what would happen if they got hot enough.
Yeah. But she, Buffy, in her cavewoman state, realizes, like, she can't get back over the fire, so she sees a window, opens it. Mm-hmm. As she's going back for Willow, the three cavemen just make a run for it. And then the two girls get up and they get out. So Buffy's taking Willow out. She starts to like wake up as Buffy throws Willow over her shoulder and climbs her out and then goes back in because she did notice, like she notices Parker.
Mm-hmm.
And she conks him back out because he does get out up and he's like, Buffy, what do we do? And she's
he's all panicky. And she just very calmly knocks him unconscious, picks him up, drags him out.
Which to be fair, if I woke up in a room that was on fire, I would be panicky as well. That is the one pass I will give Parker. He has head trauma and now his lungs are filling with smoke.
Yep. And so Buffy, again, you know, carries Parker out. She has now cleared the room so the fire department can handle the situation. And Xander has locked to the four Neanderthal guys in some random SUV that does not belong to him.
But it was unlocked.
And Buffy is like, knocking on the window and like, you know, like, oh, hey guys. And the guys are like, girl. And they're having this conversation. And then Parker approaches Buffy. Love this scene. And he says the thing that you want him to say, or Buffy wants him to say.
That Buffy, which, I don't want him to say.
Excuse me. He says that he treated her horribly and she saved his life. And this is all correct.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes, could you ever forgive me?
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like a slide back into, and can we blink? Like you yep. see him, it's not the remorseful, like, can you forgive me? I was a jackass. I'm sorry. And you still saved my life. He immediately is trying to go for the slide. And Buffy boinks him on the head. She's like, oh, you want a boink? Boink.
Boink. And then she stands over him just like with her head tilted looking at him as Giles and Xander and Willow come over, all kind of twist their heads a little, look at him, and then they all walk away.
Willow has the best, most satisfied smile on her face. The one thing we kind of miss is that when Buffy tries to turn away, she turns back towards the guys.
Oh, yeah.
In the car, and Xander has to pull her away.
Yeah.
But Xander asked Buffy, have we learned our lesson? What did we learn about beer? And she said, foamy. And he says, as long as you remember that.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, this is a good Xander episode. This is a good Willow episode. It's not a good Oz episode. Yeah. And it's neutral on Giles. Mm-hmm. I would even say it's neutral on Buffy. Like,
Buffy is very self-absorbed in this episode. Yes. I feel like she has not had the best romantic life.
Nope.
With Angel and then the coming
Angelus.
Off Angelus and then Parker. She's just really, she's in a little bit of a spiral right now.
Mm-hmm.
And her friends are supporting her, but she also needs to get, like Willow said, she needs to get out of her head. She needs to, like, find better coping mechanisms than this, like, because yeah. she's become way too obsessed over romance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at this point. So the one problem, well, one of the problems that I have with the show as a whole is very much so that Buffy throughout is kind of defined by whatever romantic partner she has
mm-hmm.
or missing a romantic partner. Like that's a big part of the series. Like each season there's someone.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't always have to be that way. I mean, Giles very infrequently has someone who he's romantically involved with. He's a great character on this show. I mean, you can even say that about Joyce. Like,
yeah, but Buffy's not the only character like that. Xander often has a partner. Willow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like all the young folks.
Yep. I thought for a second you said Zillow. And I'm like, is that a Xander-Willow combination?
The Zillow? Although that, if they ever got together, it would be Zillow.
Yep. Not Wander.
Not Wander. That sounds like something you're gonna, I'm gonna Wander you real good.
Well, Zillow reminds me of that real estate.
Yeah. Website. I know, which is why I like it. But yeah, the younger folks definitely all, I mean, because even Oz, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Spike too, because like he's with Drusilla, he's pining over Drusilla. I mean, there's Harmony with, but meh. I mean, Harmony, I think, winds up being one of the few characters that goes on to an Angel, at least, to not be obsessed with a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Harmony. Like, what? But yeah, everybody else is Buffy's happiness is very much so tied to what's happening in her love life. Mm-hmm. And that makes sense when your snuggle bunny turns into a psychotic killer trying to kill you and your friends. That should be very upsetting to you and should be very upsetting to you for as long as he's doing that. But like the stuff with Parker and everything, like that is very problematic to me.
Well, anyways, next week we are back in Los Angeles with Room with a View.
Not the E.M. Forrester novel.
Yep, it's RMW/AVU mm-hmm. because this is back in the time of classified ads when people had lots of little acronyms for.
They think they charge by the letter or something, probably, right?
Charged by the character. Yep. So, it's a good episode.
It is. I really like this episode.
It's a good Cordelia episode.
It's a fantastic. I think it's one of her best.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you for just jostling with me this week.
Yes. And we will see you all in bright, sunny LA with a vampire who parades around in the shadows next week.